Everyone doing tonight?
Doing good.
Okay, wonderful. Happy Thanksgiving to one and all. Let us turn. You're not going to have to turn. I'll be the one turning. We'll have them up on the projector. We have the service there on the PowerPoint. And if John can turn on the projector there. Okay, sounds good. All right, we're going to start with count your many blessings. Name them one by one. 495. Count your many blessings. Let's all stand together if you're physically able to.
Billows, you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings.
Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer this evening?
Our Father, our God, we thank you for the time to come and share with you the like precious faith on this Thanksgiving Eve, Lord. We just thank you for being able to thank you, Lord. There are many that would love to be in church tonight, Lord, I'm sure, and that they're in hospitals or nursing homes or somewhere, Lord. And they would rather be here, but because of condition perhaps beyond their control, they are not able to be here tonight, Lord. We certainly pray for them. So thankful Amen. To see Brother Roy here tonight, Lord.
Amen.
How you blessed and answered our prayers concerning this gentleman, Lord. We just thank you for that and for his dear wife, Lord, and whole family, Lord. We thank you for them. Pray, Father, for those that are not with us because they are with their families in some part of our country, Lord. We pray your rich blessing upon them. Be with them and guide them and keep them, Lord. Then we think of those that are on the highway, the airways are falling, and those that are traveling by automobiles. We pray for their safe passage to their loved ones home, Lord. We pray that you might continue to be with them, guide them, Lord, to safety to their trip. In Jesus' name we pray. And then, Father, we just thank you for tonight. Thank you for each one of these, one is here. Continue to bless, Lord, have your way in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for a nation like this, Lord, on this Thanksgiving Eve, that we can just meet like you and just pray for our loved one and pray for those in other countries that do not know the freedom that we know. We just thank you, Father, and pray for those. We pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Continue to bless and have your desire there, Lord. And may your will be done there, as the Bible says, as it is done in heaven. Be with us tonight, Lord. Bless the pastor as he brings the message. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn back to our next hymn, 493, Come Ye Thankful People Come. Young people, that is not appropriate. Okay, in church. Okay, thank you. 493.
Safely gathered in.
this time, we want to direct your attention to our announcements. And since you cannot read, I will read it to you. And this past Sunday, we had a great time together. And our bulletin said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And what a blessing it is to have some visitors tonight. We are glad that you are here with us. It's hard for me to see due to the candlelight, but I'll do my best. It's good to have some visitors on this side. Let's see. Armani, did you bring a friend with you tonight?
No.
Okay.
Were we supposed to?
What's that? Okay, I see someone new next to you. Is that someone new next to you, Armani?
Zion.
Zion, oh, okay. All right, okay, Zion. Did not recognize her. Over on this side, it's good to have Jade and her friend with us. Welcome, Jade. And what's your friend's name?
Cody.
Cody, welcome, Cody. Nice to have you with us. And it's a blessing. Brother Dylan and I met Jade over at Burger King, where she works over there by the CVS in Egg Harbor Township. And so it's a blessing to Jose. This is God's time, okay? God is wanting us to worship Him, okay? So we give Him respect, okay? All right, so it's a blessing to have Jade and Cody here with us, and if our ushers can get them a Mr. Hodge, if you can get them a visitor's card, that way they can, if you could fill that out and put that in offering plate as a record of your visit here with us tonight, that would be much appreciated. And just by way of other announcements, we want to invite you. This Sunday, we have something very special. I think we're going to break some records in our church for the most people that have been baptized and joining the church in one day. I believe we have somewhere as in 5 or 6 baptisms, and as far as church memberships, another 6 or 7 or 8. So that's going to be a very action-packed day this Sunday, so come on out for this special time as we celebrate with these ones who are following the Lord in believers' baptism, which is the next step after salvation, and then following those following the Lord in church membership. So come on out this Sunday at 10:45 is our morning worship, and then 9:30 is adult Bible class and Sunday school for the kids and teens. So this Sunday, 9:30 for Sunday school and adult Bible class, 10:45 the morning worship service, and then Sunday night at 7 p.m. we'll be baptizing another one. So look forward to a great, momentous day this coming Sunday. So that's, and then just by way of other announcements, we wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving as everyone goes to their family and friends tomorrow. And let us pray one for another as we travel on the roads. It's good to have some other out-of-town visitors as well and family members. It's good to have Roy's family with us from all over the place. And so let's see. Brother Phil, will you introduce your family, and then we'll have, and then we'll introduce the rest.
Bill Gibson, my son Madison, my wife Vivian.
Welcome. All the way from what city in Texas?
Baytown, Texas.
Baytown, which is in the suburbs of Houston?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. How close is that to your brother, John?
How far, Baytown?
And where's your brother?
What's he's actually in Houston, right at the edge.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody's on the edge of maybe
Pasadena. Not far. Okay. All right. So their family members live close to each other, and then it's gonna have Donna from North Carolina, right? South Carolina. What city in South Carolina?
Right outside of Clemson University.
Oh, okay. All right. What is that? Clemson. Mm-hmm. That is the city of Clemson. All right. Great to have Donna with us tonight, her and her husband down there, and their horse farm. So my wife is at home tonight, otherwise they'd be talking shop with horses tonight. But she grew up on a horse farm. So, but little Abby was sick with a 102 fever earlier this afternoon, so that kind of set us back a bit. So she was really bummed. She wanted to be here. All right, so pray for Abby. And all right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. And it is a blessing to be able to give to God of our tithes and offerings, that that God says, bring ye all the tithes and bring them into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So the Lord wants to bless us as we give to Him. Anything you give to God, God gives back more than that in many different ways of financial blessing. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear God, we thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be in church, to sing together, Lord, and to give honor and thanks to you, Lord, for all the things you have done to us and for us. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he died on the cross and nailed all our sins to his cross. Father, we ask this time to bless the offering, each gift from each giver, and may you be glorified in our giving. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Go back to our overhead projector. We'll sing our next song, and then we're going to take some testimonies, some things that you are thankful to God for tonight, and we want to share some wonderful things of all the things that God has given us to be thankful for. So let us go to our next song, and the song is, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. I will sing. To share. What are you thankful to God for? You'll have to wave at me. It's hard to see. AJ.
My cat, because he's really sick.
Okay. All right. You want us to pray for your cat? Okay. Let's pray for AJ's cat. Who else? Something to thank God for. Yes, over there. Azaria or Savan? Amen. That's a blessing. Yes, Sahara?
For my family.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Elsie?
What is church?
Amen. Wonderful. Darielle?
My sister.
All right. Thankful for your sister. That's good. Holly?
I'm thankful today I got to lead Elsie to the Lord.
All right. I think Elsie already got saved before. No? Okay. All right. Wonderful. Good. Glad that Holly got to lead Elsie to the Lord. Amen. Who else? John?
First and foremost, thankful for my salvation, that
Amen.
The Father saw fit to send His Son, His only Son, to die that cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Make atonement for my sins and yours.
Amen.
You know, He didn't have to do that, but He chose to do that. He went of His own volition. It was not forced, it was not coerced. praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for my family, and I've been out of the hospital now for a couple of weeks and been feeling really good, so I praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Who else? Karen. I think you had your hand.
I'm thankful that with all the health problems you have in the family so far, it's acceptable news, good news. Just continue to pray. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that the rest of the family made it here safely and hope they make it home safely. And just thankful that the Lord is with us no matter what we're going through.
Amen. Yeah, let's pray for Donna's son, Brock, who's battling stage 3 cancer, and they just found it a couple weeks ago, correct? Mm-hmm. And they did the surgery to get it out, and now he's going to Houston area for tests. I imagine that was your kind of help to point him in that direction, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so he'll be getting evaluated by the cancer doctors there with MD Anderson, so pray for Brock, especially at this time. Who else? Something to be thankful for. It's a night to give thanks. Yes, Esther.
I'm thankful that God is in control of all things that happen to us and things that we don't even think about, in the future or whatever. But God knows all about it, and He's in control, and we can still trust Him and know that He will lead us.
Amen. Who else? Yes, right over there. Zion.
I'm thankful for a God that will never change and will always be there for me.
Amen. He never changes. Blessing.
I'm thankful for that God gives me everything and He loves us.
Amen. All right. Who else? Something to thank God for tonight. Yes, Carol.
Roy really wanted to speak in, but he asked me to speak for him. He is just very, very thankful that we're sitting in church with family for a change.
Amen.
The fact that our family is scattered far and wide is sometimes very difficult, but we're very blessed that at least by phone we do keep in touch, and now at this particular time, we do have half of us at least here. We're also very thankful that Tim is recuperating from his surgery on Tuesday. I did get to talk to both him and Aaron today. And they don't have any test results yet, but it's looking pretty good for him. So we're thankful for that, and thankful for the privilege and the power of prayer, which sees us all through so many difficulties.
Amen. Wonderful. Brother Roy, it's good to have two of your kids here. And it probably brings back memories, right? In the 60s and 70s when you were... she was probably in the same spot, right? Were you playing?
Over there.
It was over there, okay. So just some years ago removed, and the piano was over there, so the organ was over here then.
They both were over there.
They both were over there, okay. All right. And you played over there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's wonderful. So all those piano lessons that...
And got in trouble for playing too fast.
Really?
And the song leader stopped the whole service to slow the preacher's daughter and myself down.
It was the young people were taken off. I guess it was... Wow, that's funny.
I guess who the song leader was.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. Okay. Brother Roy had to stop the whole service, huh? All right, and I heard he sang in a quartet as well, and he still sings in our choir, bass every now and again. So it's good to have Philip here. Philip helped build the softball backstop back in the field there some years ago, and I'm
just playing trumpet up here for everybody.
Really?
Along with the piano, I was doing trumpet.
Well, that's what we need. You got to bring it back, okay? We need that trumpet back. That's what we're missing tonight. And we have my son Paul on the violin, so I guess it kind of picks up in families. So that's a blessing that we're all here together tonight.
And that trumpet helped him meet his wife at Clemson, as they were both in the band at Clemson. She also played the trumpet.
Wow.
And as long as we're talking about the whole family, and Madison is the one we've been praying for since he's been 8 years old, mm-hmm. when he got childhood diabetes. So you see, he's doing quite well. He's really grown up and is handling his condition just very, very well.
Amen. Wonderful. Welcome back, Matt. When you were here last, you were 8 or 9 and smaller. So I'm glad to meet adult Madison yesterday, and what a blessing. All right, let us sing another hymn, number 78 in the Blue Book. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all Thou dost provide. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all Thou dost provide. Thanks for thine above of every. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant love He brings us. Thanks for dark and changing calm. Thanks for tears I now forgot. Time you've sung that one. Okay, a few. Okay. It's a beautiful song and really lists some detailed, specific details of things that we are thankful for. All right, now at this time we'll open up for one last time to thank God for what He has given you in your life. Anyone else with a word of testimony? Something you're thankful to God for? Yes, Karen?
I just want to say I'm thankful that I got a text message that Patty is in the care center.
Yes. Amen. Yes, Darielle and Holly and I went and visited Patty just about an hour ago at the Egg Harbor Care Center, and she is doing well. We brought her mail, and she's having a good time. Glad she's out of the hospital. And so pray for her as she now goes the next step and gets the radiation treatment pretty soon. For the cancer in her colon. Yes. Okay, amen. It's good to have Christian friends too. They're the best kind of friends that stick by you through thick and thin. Who else? Zaria. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Mr. Hodge.
I'm thankful for the gift of salvation. I got it free and it was paid completely by Jesus Christ when He died on the cross and took those sins. And I thank God for every day I can just get up and feel well and healthy. I give God the glory for His many blessings day by day.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Armani.
I'm thankful for all the people who, you know, made me who I am today, and, you know, from learning from, you know, mistakes
and learning to be who I am now, and you know that I'm going to be better in the future. And I'm thankful for like all the friends and family, and for you guys that are here, and for my church family, and God, and for you.
Amen. Okay, amen. All right, anyone else? Don't want to leave anybody out. Okay, at this time, we'll go to the last, we'll save the last song for right at the end of the time here. Now let's go to the next slide as we'll go to the next few slides, John. We'll skip this one. We'll sing that one at the end. And we'll go to Luke 17 and verse 12 in the Bible as we read God's Word tonight. A good reminder, all that we have to be thankful for. Luke 17 and verse 12. And let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight to reflect and think back on this year and to think back on all that You've done in our lives. Lord, we know some good and some bad things have happened to us. We know that there's been bad news this year. We know that that life has not always turned out wonderfully, but You'd never promised us an easy path in life, nor did You promise freedom from the curse of sin until we get home to heaven. Lord, we pray that in the midst of all these things that we're going through, that we would thank You for all the wonderful blessings You give to us. We pray that tonight that You'd help us to open, as we open Your Word, that You'd speak to us through it, through the Holy Spirit of God. Fill me with Thy Spirit and help each one of us to think on these things, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't yet know Christ as Savior, that tonight would be the night of their salvation. We pray for each Christian here tonight, that You'd help us to grow closer to You by having been here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 17 and verse 12, we see that Jesus came into the next village. Jesus, for 3.5 years, He did what? While He was a grown adult man from 30 to 33, for 3.5 years, He did what for people? Okay. Paul, why don't you take Jose and AJ? If you guys could sit in the back row with Paul, that would be great. I appreciate that. That way you guys can sit back there and you won't disturb anybody. Luke 17 and verse 12. So we see here Jesus, for 3.5 years, He was the perfect Son of God, as He's brought out in the Gospel of John. Matthew brings Him out as the perfect King, the promised Messiah. Mark brings Him out as the servant. And then Luke brings Him out as the Son of Man. Okay, so we see the Son of Man here in the book of Luke. And here He is with man as the Son of Man and the Son of God. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Why don't you read verse 13? We'll read it responsively. And when He saw them, He said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Amen. So here we have, let's go back to the first slide. So here we have Jesus entering into the next village. Everywhere that Jesus went, He went with a purpose. Okay? And it came to pass is a saying that's often in the Scripture. That just means it came to pass that, you know, that's after a passing of time that Jesus decided to go to the next place. And there was a purpose for each place that He visited in Mark 6. When we get back to the Gospel of Mark next Wednesday night, we're going to look at the Syrophoenician woman that lived in Tyre and Sidon and how He purposely went to the Gentiles' land just so He could prove this Gentile lady, test her, and she came through with flying colors. And it just shows the power of prayer. As we ask for things that Jesus wants to give them, But He often also wants to hear us yearning for them and having faith as we pray. And so here, everywhere Jesus went, He had a purpose in it. Well, here, He has a purpose in going to this village because He knew there were 10 lepers there. And sure enough, the 10 men that were lepers, leprosy was a horrible disease. Leprosy was a disease that you could get it by someone else having it nearby you. If you drank out of the same cup that someone with leprosy had, you could get it. If you touched someone, if you touched someone's skin and they had leprosy on their hand and you touched their hand, well, some of those particles and skin follicles could come and that could get into your skin and it could cause leprosy. Leprosy was very contagious. So contagious that as soon as someone got leprosy, they'd have to go off away apart from the people. They could not be in the town anymore. They had to go into leper colonies. And what would happen would be horrible. As the leprosy would infect the person's skin, it would just start eating first at the extremities, the nose, the ears, anything that was poking out, the fingers, the toes, and it would start eating at them, and the skin would turn white, and it would start lacking the nourishment from the blood supply, and pretty soon a finger would fall off, or an ear, or a nose, or part of it, and they would just start losing limbs, starting from the extremities, going inward. This disease of leprosy was a mortal and deadly disease that would kill anyone who got it. Well, Jesus was there in that village, and 10 men that were lepers, they said, "Oh, He's our only hope. There He is, way over there." And they called out to Him. They lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And of course, He could tell immediately. Of course, Jesus knew who they were. He knew them by name. Why? Because Jesus knows all of us. He is the Creator. Jesus is God, just like God the Father is God, just like God the Holy Spirit, who's working in our hearts, working on the whole of mankind, all of our hearts. The Holy Spirit is God. Well, Jesus is God as well. So in the beginning, when the days of creation happened, it says that God said, "Let us make man in our own image." Who was He talking to in Genesis 1:26? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were talking together to each other. Okay, so Jesus created us, and so He saw these lepers, and He knew all about them. He knew their whole story, and He heard them say, "Master, have mercy on us." And when He saw them, He said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. All of a sudden, their fingers and their toes that were starting to get the leprosy on, all of a sudden, the white skin was gone. "Wait, hey, your nose is better. Hey, your ears, you don't have any." And they'd take off their bandages to check, and sure enough, everywhere they looked, their skin was clean again. And they said, "Oh, this is so wonderful." And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He came back to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, oh, you healed me." He was so happy that Jesus healed him. Let's go to the next slide. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Here we see he fell down on his face at his feet. He literally was in the full prostrate position. And he was worshiping Jesus. Why was he worshiping Jesus? Because he recognized him that he was truly the Son of God. And he has stooped down as the Son of Man. He stooped down to meet man's needs. His need of being healed. And he healed him. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't a full-blooded Jew. Here's a man who was half Jewish and half Gentile. And a lot of Samaritans didn't like that. The Jews would look down on them. And the Samaritans didn't like the Jews. And the Jews didn't like Samaritans. But notice here, Jesus doesn't give any qualifications for his healings. He doesn't say, "Oh, you have to be this or you have to be that." No, he healed everyone that came to him. He healed everyone that asked for cleansing and for healing. And notice here, he gives something even more. Verse 17, And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where's the other ones? He was a Samaritan, half Jewish, half Gentile, but he was more thankful than the full-blooded Jewish people that Jesus came for initially. Jesus said he came to bring salvation to the Jews and to the Gentiles, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. Well, here, his own fellow countrymen, the chosen people, the apple of God's eye, as it says in the Old Testament, many places that God raised up Abraham. God chose Abraham to be the chosen nation through whom he would shed the gospel to the world. God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And you know, God has not rescinded that blessing for Abraham and for Abraham's seed, which are the Jews, that God wants us to bless the Jewish nation and Jewish people. Why? Because God has future plans for them. Right now, it's the church age, the age of grace, the time of the Gentiles. But pretty soon, the time of the Gentiles is going to be full, and he's going to move back to the Jewish, people being the messengers again, the evangelists. He's going to raise up 144,000 witnesses, 12,000 from every tribe during the seven-year tribulation, which is the next event on God's timetable after the rapture. So we see, right now it's the time of the Gentiles, but it's going to go back to the Jews again, and they're going to be the ones preaching the gospel again. And then Jesus is going to bring in his thousand-year millennial kingdom. So God has great things in store for his people, the Jews, so let us help them and pray for them and love on them and give the gospel to them as well. Well, here we see this Samaritan gave thanks, but the other 9 Jewish people, they were nowhere to be found. They were off thinking about the next thing. Oh, I'm healed. Yes. Yes. I'm going home to my family, my wife, my kids, or my friends, and I want to go back. And they're thinking of the next thing already. And they're so quick to forget that, wait, they just got their life back. They just got everything back. And they're already too busy for God. You know, isn't that the way we are as human beings? We get a big answer to prayer. You know, God does something great for us, and then we forget about it quickly, and we're moving on already to the next thing. We might tell one or two people, oh, yeah, oh, this is a great thing. So-and-so and the family is better, or I just got over my test, or this thing happened. And then we're quick to forget about it, move on. Well, let us not do that. We see it as ingratitude when we forget quickly, without thanking God for what he's done, let us fall down on our face like this Samaritan and worship and give him thanks for all that he's done. And notice here, there's benefits for giving thanks. Here, these 10 men, we don't know the spiritual condition of the other 9. We don't know if they were saved or lost. We don't know. But we do know the spiritual condition of this Samaritan. He needed a Savior. We know that he needed to be saved. And there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. What did Jesus do here? Did he heal him? Right at his feet? Okay, here, get up, Samaritan, lifted him up and said, you're healed now, right? No. He already cleansed him. He already cleansed all 10 of them when he said, go show yourself to the priest. So what did he do here for him? He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He got saved. He, right there, that Samaritan standing as or falling prostrate before Jesus, worshiping him, he recognized that Jesus was the only one who could forgive him of his sins also. Not only could Jesus heal him from his leprosy, but Jesus could also save him from his sins. Save him from going to hell for all eternity. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus doesn't want any of us to perish. God is not willing that any should perish and go to hell and die in our sins for all eternity. God doesn't want that. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to die on that old rugged cross to save us. You say, well, what have I done to merit punishment in hell? What have I done? What sins have I done? Well, the Ten Commandments show us quickly what we've done. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Have you always gone and worshiped God the way you should every single week? Have you always, with your mouth, only uttered good and wholesome speech? Have you never cursed? Have you never taken God's name in vain? Did you ever steal? God says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Have you ever told a lie about yourself or someone else? That you did something you didn't, or you did something you shouldn't have done? Well, that's a lie. We just broke the Ten Commandments one by one by one by one. Thou shalt not covet. If you lust after something that's not yours, to take it, that's coveting. And we just broke the Ten Commandments. So here we see that God's commandments are pure and holy and perfect, and there's not one of us that has kept all of God's commandments. This Samaritan man saw that. He said, you know, I am unworthy to be even in the presence of Jesus the Christ. And he fell down on his face giving thanks. He said, I'm not worthy to stand face to face with Jesus. I need to go down and humble myself and fall prostrate at His feet. Here we see that's the attitude we need to have when we approach the Son of God. Jesus is so holy that He says, I am the light of the world. When God revealed Jesus' holiness on the Mount of Transfiguration, He kind of peeled back the shadows of the mystery of His coming to earth as a human. He pulled them back and He showed His heavenly glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus was there with Peter, James, and John. And as Jesus was transfigured into His heavenly glory, that literally He became so bright that Peter, James, and John, all they could do was say, ah! And they had to fall down as dead men, just falling, covering their faces. Why? Because Jesus is perfect. He's pure. He is holy. And He's up in heaven seated at the right hand of God right now, making intercession for us. He's praying that we come to Him for salvation. Because that's our only way into heaven, is through the blood of Jesus who died on that old rugged cross for you and for me. You say, well, are my sins really that bad? Yes, God says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The paycheck we deserve because we broke the Ten Commandments is not home in heaven. Nope, it's death, eternal separation from God in the second death, which is the lake of fire and brimstone. Revelation 21:8 says, and all liars, how many lies does it take to make us a liar? Well, how many murders does it take to make a person a murderer? Just one. How many lies does it take to make us a liar? One. Revelation 21:8 says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So that's the death that Jesus is saying, perish. In John 3:16, He says, don't perish in hell. If you go to hell, that'll be your own choice. And it'll be over my love for you and over my body that was broken for you on the cross. Don't go to hell. Be saved. And sure enough, this Samaritan man, he said, I need Jesus for not only for healing, but for salvation. And sure enough, Jesus said, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Was it hard for him to get saved that day? Was it hard for him to know that he was on his way to heaven? Did he have to go through 100 miles of good works and live 20 years doing good things for everyone, and then finally he secured his salvation? No. Notice here, this Samaritan, all he had to do in a day, in one day, was realize, I am a sinner, unworthy of heaven, and I need Jesus to save me from my sins so that I can go there. He fell down at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He recognized that he was the Son of God, the one who could save him from his sins. That's how simple salvation is. That many churches and many religious groups teach, well, you got to be good, and you got to do good works, and you just got to keep doing it your whole life, and hopefully when you die, you'll go to heaven. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by His mercy, He saved us. It's doing it like the Samaritan man did. Falling down on her face before God and saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all we have to do. Coming, repenting of our sins, saying, Lord, my sins are slowly taking me to hell. My lies, I thought they were getting me ahead in life, they're taking me to hell. My cheating, my disobeying my parents, my coveting, all the things I thought were, you know, helpful in life, getting me ahead. Well, I realize now they're just slowly taking me to hell. And I don't want them anymore. I want to repent of my sins and believe on Jesus. That's what this Samaritan man did. He believed on the Lord right there. And in a moment, he was saved. Well, the same thing can happen to you. It happened to me on October 29th, 1985. My dad explained this simple gospel plan to me. He said, Jeremy, you know, you're a sinner. I said, I know, Dad. I said, every time I try to do good, I end up sinning. I end up turning it around and sinning at the end. I said, there's no way I can possibly be good enough. And he said, yes, Jeremy, that's right. Jesus is your way to heaven. And I said, Dad, that's what I want. That's what I want. And I prayed, I knelt down by my bed that night, October 29th, 1985, and I said, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner, that I've broken your law, and I deserve judgment in hell, but I don't want to go there. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me and to save me from my sins. I call on you now to save me. And sure enough, I opened my heart to Jesus that in that very moment, in that prayer. God says, it says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice, it's not complicated. It's not difficult to be saved. Unfortunately, the new versions, they say, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way, they say, the way is hard that leadeth unto salvation. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's just narrow and straight. That means it's you have to go God's way. You got to go God's way. God's rules are you have to believe on Jesus, repenting of your sins to be saved. It's simple. It's easy. It happens in a moment of time. It's not complicated. And that's what we need to do. We need to do it God's way. Just be humble ourselves, repent, and believe on Him. And so we see here the Bible is so beautiful. And so as verse 19, and he said unto him, Go, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Here they said, Jesus, when is your kingdom coming? We want to know right now, you know. Here was the hard hearts of these religious leaders that were trying to work their way to heaven. They wanted to do it their own way. Let's go to the next slide. And Jesus said, it doesn't come with observation. You can't see it. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. All those who trust Jesus as Savior, guess what? We enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So here, it's easy to be saved. The way to enter into Christ's kingdom is by having that transaction take place in your heart, saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, please save me. And if you will do that, the kingdom of God is then within you. You have entered it. It's there. You're in. The Pharisees, they didn't enter it yet. They're wondering how to get in. They're trying to do all their good works and religious things and all the things that they think they should do, and it seems so hard for them. Well, it's because they're too proud to do it God's way. Don't be too proud to do it God's way, to just simply repent and believe. And then it says in verse 22, and he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the coming or the Son of Man be in his day. Many people are going to say, boy, I wish I could see Jesus. Boy, I wish I could enter into his kingdom. Boy, I wish I could know him. But it's going to be too late for so many people. Because when Jesus comes back, it's going to be too late. When Jesus comes back at the rapture, it's going to be too late for people who said, well, I'll do it later. You know, well, when I'm older, I'll get saved. We don't know when that day, when Jesus is coming back. It could be tonight. Could be tonight. Sure enough, there have been many books written about the rapture that's in the Bible called Left Behind and other different ones. And sure enough, it chronicles how people have plans. And they want to do many things. But when Jesus comes back, it's too late. It's too late. And sure enough, Jesus is now talking about his second coming. When right at the end of the seven-year tribulation, many people are saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to set up our own kingdom. We're going to follow the Antichrist. And the mark of the beast is the way to go. And yes, we're finally achieving ultimate triumph in life. At that point, that's when Jesus is going to come back as lightning comes from the east to the west. And he's going to come back and it says, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Because they're going to say, oh no, we believed a lie. We fell for the devil's lie that the world is peddling us. That live for yourself. All there is what's in this life. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Just do whatever you want. Live for pleasure. And they say, uh-oh, that was wrong. And it's too late. Jesus has come back now. And at that point, they are vanquished and sent to judgment. You see, don't let that happen to you. Don't let the surprise of the devil keep you from believing on Jesus tonight. It's so important that we follow him. If you're a Christian tonight, don't let the world entrap you and pull you back into its entrapments and fine colors and beautiful pictures. Because it's all a facade. It's vanity of vanities. All is vanity, saith the preacher. That what shall we do? Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That this is the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed, as we close this service tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, you know, I want to do that. I want to do what the Samaritan man did. I want to have us that simple faith to believe that Jesus can be my Savior. I want to believe on him tonight. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I would like to be saved tonight. I would like to know Jesus as my Savior. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. Right there where you're seated. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, you know, I have fallen prey to what the world is trying to tell us to do, and that's just to keep moving on even after we get blessings in life. And I realize I need to stop what I'm doing and give God thanks for all the great blessings in my life. I know life's not easy and life's not perfect right now, but I need to give gratitude to God for what he has been doing in my life. That's you. Just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. Say, Pastor, that's me. Amen. Amen. I want to stop and just thank God tonight. I just want to thank God and fall at his feet and worship for all that he has done for me. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Amen. 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 Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to think on these wonderful truths from your word, that once we trust Christ as Savior, that we are your children, that we are part of your kingdom, the kingdom of God here on earth, and we have you in our hearts, never to be taken away. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help them to know the joy and the blessing of living for you. We pray you'd help us to be fruit-bearing Christians, Lord, that we would share the light of Jesus this Thanksgiving, tomorrow, as we go with our families and with our friends and our loved ones, that we would share the light of Jesus to them. And we pray that you would just bless our Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing one last song as we close. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. The one, there it is. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. $4.99 in the red book. $4.99. Nothing. Together in prayer as we close this service. Let's pray for one another, and let's pray especially for Brock and Tim, and was there any other prayer requests that were mentioned tonight?
Patty,
and yes, Sahara. Okay, let's pray for Sahara's cat and AJ's cat. Anyone else? Okay, let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great blessing of being together in your house tonight. We thank you for Brother Roy being here. We thank you for the rest of the family being here, many of the family. Lord, we pray you'd be with Donna and her recuperation from her hip surgery. Lord, we pray you just continue to help her to walk and help her to as she continues to get more active, Lord. And we pray you just put your healing hands upon her. Pray also for Roy, that you just take care of his chest pain that he's been having. Lord, that you just put your healing hands upon him. We pray also for Tim, as he had the surgery yesterday. We pray you'd help that to come out non-cancerous, Lord, that you just heal him in a mighty way. We pray for Brock at this time, that you just do a mighty work of healing on his body, that you'd help him to get just the right doctors and nurses and just the right treatment plan to get rid of and eradicate this cancer and to put it into remission, Lord. And we pray you just put your healing hands upon him. We pray you'd be with AJ and Sahara's cats, Lord. We pray you just help them to get better. Pray for little Abby tonight. You just heal her from her 102 fever, Lord. Help it not to get worse. Pray you'd put your healing hands upon her. And we thank you so much that you are the great physician, that just as you healed people on earth, that you tell us
the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Lord, help us to trust You each and every day and pray to You for that healing for our loved ones and for ourselves. Lord, we thank You that You love us so much and You take care of us through life and that You have sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, what a great, the greatest gift of all is our salvation. We're so thankful for that. We pray You'd also be with Brock and just put Your healing hands upon him and pray for anyone else who needs healing, Lord. Thank You for our visitors coming tonight. Bless Jade and Cody and the rest of the Gibson family. And we pray You just bless us, take us to our loved ones' homes tomorrow in safety and back. And we pray that You just meet all of our needs, Lord, for Your honor and glory. We praise You. We thank You. We cannot thank You enough for Your just bountiful gifts in our lives. We are in debt with gratitude to You all day long and all night. Let us praise You, Lord, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. What's that?